Welcome to the AVA Journal Legal Rebels podcast, where we talk to men and women who are remaking the legal profession, changing the way the law is practiced, and setting standards that will guide us into the future.
Facial recognition software is becoming a greater part of our everyday lives. The police use it to investigate crime. Smartphones and computers use it to secure data. Businesses use it to provide more customized, targeted solutions and experiences for its customers. Even bar examiners used it to conduct remote testing during the pandemic. But the technology is controversial and not without its critics. Questions about its accuracy, especially relating to recognizing minority faces, remain. Several cities have even banned certain applications of facial recognition. Emotion Track's approach focuses on helping lawyers analyze facial expressions in real time to determine whether a user has positive, negative, or neutral feelings. Launched in 2020 by CEO Aaron Itzkowitz, Emotion Track uses the front-facing camera on smartphones and tablets to gauge a user's emotional reactions to videos or images. A law firm or lawyer can then use those insights to design more effective advertising campaigns or figure out what arguments will land with potential jurors. My name is Victor Lee, and I'm an assistant managing editor with the ABA Journal and the host of the ABA Journal Legal Rebels podcast. My guest today is Aaron Itzkowitz, CEO of Emotion Track. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Thank you. Thanks, Victor.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you come up with the idea for Emotion Track?
It was a bit of a journey. We actually had launched a business that predated Emotion Track called Jingles, which was a mobile application that gamified users who would engage in mobile advertising. And we were tracking their engagement as interpreted as eyes on the screen. So where most people skip the ads after 3 or 4 seconds on YouTube, our goal was to show advertisers that people would watch their ads to completion if they knew they were getting a reward. And to validate that we knew their eyes were on the screen, they gave us permission to use the front-facing camera of a phone while the video ad played. So while we were validating that to advertisers, we said, well, what if we can tell advertisers not just whether people there have the people's attention, but we can tell them how people are feeling about the content that they're viewing. So we started to develop the Emotion Track solution parallel to that other product. And as we started approaching the 2020 election year, we were going after the political markets with our initial launch of our product in early 2020. We started focusing more on this mobile focus group Emotion Track product.
Gotcha. So how did you make the transition to go from politics to lawyers?
COVID. We had started out in early, we pretty much launched our product in the last week of January in 2020. And we were starting to get some traction with some ad agencies and political marketing groups. And all of a sudden COVID hit and social distancing. So they weren't creating content. So we were sitting in the first few months of the pandemic and trying to figure out what are we doing now while the pandemic's going on. And so I had a discussion with an attorney, a plaintiff attorney, who said it would be great if we can use your technology in the courtroom to point cameras at the jurors and to gauge their emotional reactions while they're listening to opening statements, closing arguments, etc. And although we knew that probably wouldn't be a solution by getting a judge to approve cameras in a courtroom, we said, well, what if we can do that and create this mock jury concept with our same panel audience? We actually constantly are screening and acquiring panelists on a daily basis. And that's sort of how our legal tech solution for Emotion Track was born.
Gotcha. So if I want to use Emotion Track for my trial, you know, can you guide me through the process of how it would actually happen? Like, would you impanel a bunch of people similar to the jury pool and just kind of do like a focus group kind of thing?
Not exactly. So first of all, it's a very simple process for attorneys to work with us. It's basically creating a mini case. We usually suggest about a 5-minute video that we actually produce based on any exhibits, evidence. We even will record the attorney's sort of opening remarks or closing arguments as it relates to the case, and then we'll piece it together almost like a little movie trailer. And that is what gets delivered to the panelists. Because we're dealing with emotional analytics, the whole science behind facial detection, which is not facial recognition. We don't use facial recognition. We use what's called facial action coding and microfacial expressions. The whole science behind that actually started with Charles Darwin. And Charles Darwin used his research to capture emotions. And it then went on to a gentleman named Dr. Paul Ekman, who created, he was the father of facial action coding. And he pioneered that in the 1960s when he went to Papua New Guinea to study the nonverbal behavior of the local tribes. He chose these people because they were isolated, almost a Stone Age culture. And what Ekman's research provided, the strongest evidence to date, was that facial expressions are universal. And so he identified six basic emotions, by the way, of anger, surprise, disgust, enjoyment, fear, and sadness. We've gone to different dyadics, so we have multiple emotions and different moods that we report on. But most importantly, what he defined is that people feel and then they think. So if you're in a district in, I don't know, Lee County, Florida, and you're highly Republican, and then you're from another district in New York where you're highly Democratic, it doesn't make a difference to when we're capturing your emotional reaction, because those reactions being caught in literally, I think it's 1/300th of a second, are pretty much the same. If someone takes the time to think about what they just watched or listened to, that's when they become objective and opinionated, and then they react differently. And that's why traditional focus groups have different outcomes, because people sit in a room for hours, they talk amongst themselves, and then one juror could influence, or one mock juror or focus group person could influence the decision of another person. And that's why facial action coding and authentic reactions, we're getting true raw data of people's sentiments, and then we're able to use data science to report that back.
Gotcha. So, I mean, obviously, I saw this on your website even, that this would have applications for lawyer marketing and commercials and whatnot. I mean, you know, have you used that a lot for lawyers if they wanted like help design a better ad campaign for them?
So, to be honest, the answer is yes. But lawyers, they're very interesting to work with, and we respect them. They're slow to adopt new technologies. But one use case that I can share is that we worked with a firm out on the West Coast in California, and they were testing six different versions of a new TV commercial that they had filmed, and they wanted to identify which would resonate best with their target demographics. So we ran those six commercials through six different audiences, through six different panels. And we came back with results that said, by the way, this commercial is performing the best, but you need to optimize between 11 seconds and 16 seconds, and you need to change this. This was the insights that we delivered. About 4 months later, we get a call from them and said, by the way, we took your advice, we started testing it, we spent money on advertising, and that spot is the best performing commercial in our history of our law firm that we've ever spent advertising on. And we're seeing an increase of 1,000% return on investment on intake over our previous campaigns that we've spent money on. So lawyers are using us for testing TV spots. And we've actually also have tested billboards as well. So we've come up with a science on how to do billboard testing.
Do you just run the images by users and whatnot and just get their reaction? Is that how it's done?
With the billboards?
Yeah. I mean, I assume you don't put it in the people's cars, right?
No. So the way we deploy tests to our audiences, so we pre-screen our panels and we're constantly recruiting, as I said earlier, and the panelists download a mobile app. It's called Campaign Tester. And when they're invited to a test, they receive a text notification, an email. It says you're invited to a test. You'll receive a reward for participating in this test. They don't know the subject matter of what the test is about. It could be a legal case. We call them legal cases, or it could be TV ad spots and so forth. And they click on the link. It opens the app. It asks them permission to use the front-facing camera of the phone. It calibrates their camera, and we identify that there's enough lighting in the room, and they start watching naturally. And we're collecting, again, authentic, unbiased reactions as they're watching second by second. So with a billboard test, what we've done is we actually have created a system where we'll set up, we have a setup slide, and then we'll show the billboard image, and then we'll have a second slide with some text, and then show the image again, and have another slide, and show the image again. And typically, that runs for anywhere between 30 and 60 seconds. We give them enough time to glance and look at the billboard, and we're able to determine how they're reacting to each of those images in that time period, and then reporting data back on what was resonating with them based on their demographic.
Gotcha. So let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
If you're like me, you're probably a bit frustrated with the state of our political system today. Democracy Decoded, a podcast by Campaign Legal Center, examines our government and discusses innovative ideas that could lead to a stronger, more transparent, accountable, and inclusive democracy. Listen at democracydecoded.org to their new season, which takes a deep dive into democracy at the state and local level by highlighting different ways to ensure that every voter's voice is heard.
Delegate out those tasks that take up your time. Staffy can help you with your legal, administrative, marketing, and even client-facing workload. Hiring Staffy's top-notch bilingual virtual staff means Staffy does the recruiting, hiring, and training for you. Then, if you need a change, Staffy handles it. You get to concentrate on your strategic work. Schedule a free consultation at staffy.cc. That's STAFI.cc and get $500 off with code HAPPY24.
And we're back. If we could talk generally for a minute. So obviously, you're aware of the studies about facial recognition and whatnot. And I understand, the software that you have isn't quite the same as what, police officers are using or what cities are using. And it focuses more on reactions as opposed to recognition. But are there any kind of differences that you've been able to see as far as, analyzing minority faces or minority reactions or people who are not, who come from maybe different backgrounds or different, have different ethnic backgrounds and whatnot? Like, have you noticed any kind of differences in that regard?
We haven't. Our technology identifies over 100 facial points. So if the lips are curving a certain way or the eye is drooping a certain way or the eyebrow, that whether you're Asian or Black or white or Hispanic or Native American or whatever race, we don't see differences between those two.
So obviously, whenever, the other thing that kind of popped in my mind is, and, this is a preconceived notion on my part, is whenever I hear, the words jury selection, I immediately think of Runaway Jury, the movie or the book, starring Gene Hackman and whatnot. And so obviously that's not what you guys do, but that was my initial reaction, just that connection. I mean, is that something that you have to combat, like those kind of preconceived notions of, my product is this or my product is that, and then you have to kind of talk to people and educate them as to the fact that it's not really like that?
Well, I think by nature, lawyers will tend to question, but the way we've built our solution is we don't get a focus group or a mock jury or, into one single room and do the testing. So our individuals can be all over the country. They could be at work. They can be at home. They could be in the car when they get the invite to the test. And it's up to them to then access the video from their phone. So they watch it independently. They have no idea who the rest of the audience members are. So there's no conflict with collaborating or communicating with other testers to get their opinion. Plus, they don't have time to, because let's say we're testing a legal case that's typically about 5 minutes, they're watching it and the video disappears once they've consumed the video. So it's no longer available to them. They can't share it. They can't save it. And so we're collecting their raw data, and then we're aggregating all those reactions as a group. Yeah, it's quantitative in nature, so we're aggregating all that data And then we're reporting back based on how that entire panel reacted to what they've seen.
Gotcha. So if I can kind of ask you just like some for some general numbers or whatnot, you know, when you talk about like the kit, you know, the lawyers that have used your technology or that have, you know, used your used the motion track for trials, I mean, like just a ballpark number. I mean, where would you put it at?
The number of attorneys that have used this so far?
Yeah.
Well, considering that courts are starting to open and some places the judges are continuing the cases for another 9 months and so forth, and we've had commitments to use us, I wish it was more, but I'd say right now we're probably at around the 50 mark.
And is it throughout the country or is it concentrated in a certain area?
Throughout the country.
Okay.
It's not just limited to personal injury or, you know, we've done some civil and we've done defense and criminal.
Gotcha. So, I mean, you talked a little bit about earlier just about politics and then kind of moving into the legal field and whatnot. Where do you kind of see your company moving into after this? I mean, are there any other areas of the law that you're looking into? Are there any other areas in general? Like where do you sort of see the future for Emotion Track?
We have a pilot program that hasn't deployed yet with one of the largest AmLaw 100 firms. And they're looking to use our solution aside from just testing cases, you know, case preparation, but they're looking to use it to test the talent and to make sure that their attorneys are presenting properly, that they're resonating potentially with, you know, a jury or for mediation. And they're going to record the attorneys like a two minute script and then send it through the audience to get the feedback on how an audience is reacting to those individual statements. So like a talent tester.
Right. So it'll kind of be like a giant focus group but for one person at a time.
Correct. And, you know, it helps them, you know, maybe coaching, improvement, where are the lows, where are the highs, you know, what was triggered, the audience, what didn't, et cetera.
Well, I'm thankful I don't have to go through that. But then again, who knows? maybe you'll be meeting with my boss at some point, right?
Well, we have other use cases outside the legal industry. We're in discussions with a group that is connected to a national TV news station affiliates. And again, they want to use us to test if they're hiring new talent, like a new weatherman, they could use our platform to get insights on that.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see why that would be. That would be important to kind of test the trustworthiness of someone like that. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, was just really fascinated by sort of, you know, the when I first heard this pitch back. I think you were at ABA Tech Show a couple months ago. So I was fascinated when I heard about this. So are there any plans for you to get back into politics?
We are in the midst of a significant software update right now. And we have now that 2024 is coming up. We have been discussions with some groups that work with some serious politicians with their social media marketing and their Google advertising, and they're speaking to us to use our solution for the purpose of making sure that before they start spending a lot of money on advertising, that the ads are working properly.
Gotcha.
So the answer is yes.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing what happens. That's all the time we have for today. I'd like to thank my guest, Aaron Iskowitz of Emotion Track, for joining us. Aaron, if your listeners would like to get in touch with you, what's the best way of doing so?
They can go to our website at legal.emotiontrack.com or just emotiontrack.com. It's spelled without a K at the end, so emotiontrac.com. And they could reach out to me directly. My number is 917-892-3545. Again, 917-892-3545. And they could email me at Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at emotiontrack.com.
Great. So for our listeners out there, thank you so much for tuning in. If you like this podcast and would like to hear more like it, please check out Legal Talk Network. My name is Victor Lee, and this has been the ABA Journal Legal Rebels podcast.
If you'd like more information about today's show, please visit LegalRebels.com, LegalTalkNetwork.com, subscribe via iTunes and RSS, find both the ABA Journal and Legal Talk Network on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, or download the free apps from ABA Journal and Legal Talk Network in Google Play and iTunes. The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by, Legal Talk Network, its officers, directors, employees, agents, representatives, shareholders, and subsidiaries. None of the content should be considered legal advice. As always, consult a lawyer.